Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a topic that I think every creative freelancer and especially photographers stays up at night thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking for the holy grail of business growth, and I really don't use that term lightly.
It truly is the holy grail. I mean, if you look at the mechanics of how a service business grows, there's one channel that just outperforms everything else.
Right.
It costs $0 in ad spend. It converts faster than any funnel you can build. And the clients, they usually end up being the best ones to work with.
We are talking, of course, about the referral.
The referral. But here's the catch, and this is why we're doing a deep dive on this today, based on the work of Don Giannotti. Most photographers treat referrals like the weather.
Mm.
They treat them like an act of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just sit there, do good work, and hope it rains money.
It's the fingers crossed business model. And honestly, it's terrifying because you have absolutely zero control over it. If the phone doesn't ring, you just wait.
Right. Giannotti actually calls this hope marketing. You hope someone liked the photos enough to tell a friend. You hope they remember your name when a colleague asks. It's totally passive.
And in a market, this competitive passive is dangerous.
Oh, it's deadly.
Hmm.
If you are just waiting for the phone to ring, you aren't running a business. You're basically buying a lottery ticket every morning.
So today we are dismantling that mindset. We're taking Giannotti's framework, which he calls the referral engine, and we're going to break it down into a machine.
I like that, a machine.
We want to move from this passive hope to an active, specific system that generates leads while you're asleep, or, you know, more likely, while you are on set editing photos.
Which is where you should be focusing your energy, not panic scrolling LinkedIn for jobs.
Exactly. Right. So let's start with the foundation. The biggest mistake people make, according to the source material, is where they look for these referrals.
Yeah.
I think the default instinct for most of us is, I need more clients, so I have to blast this out to the internet.
The vague internet. Yeah, we tend to think that if we just post on Instagram enough or tweet enough, that the algorithm will magically deliver these high-paying commercial clients to our door.
But that's not how it works.
No. Giannotti argues that referrals don't come from algorithms. They come from specific humans.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a referral system, you need a list of actual people.
He calls this the referral Rolodex. And I love that he breaks this down into three distinct lanes, because one of them, lane two, completely changed how I view networking.
Oh, yeah. Lane two is the big one.
But let's start with lane one, which is the obvious one.
So lane one is past clients. These are the art buyers, producers, creative directors. I mean, anyone who has physically signed a check and handed it to you.
Your low-hanging fruit.
Totally. They already know you. They hopefully like you. And the trust is already established. You've proven you can do the job.
Okay, that's the base. If you aren't talking to past clients, you're just leaving money on the table. But lane two, this is where I want to spend some time because this is the real aha moment for me. He labels this peers and vendors.
This is a massive blind spot for so many photographers. We're sort of trained to look up at the client, the person with the money. We completely forget to look sideways.
Right.
And Giannotti's point is that the people working alongside you, the stylists, the makeup artists, the set builders, and crucially, the rental houses are your best intelligence network.
The rental house example really stuck out to me in the reading. Break that down for me. Why is the guy renting lights a better lead source than, say, a marketing director?
Okay, so think about the timeline of a production. Who is the first person to know that a big shoot is happening?
Not the photographer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Often it's the rental house. A producer calls them to put a hold on a specific camera package or like a massive lighting setup. Sometimes they do this before they've even locked in a photographer. They're securing the gear first.
So their rental agent has, what, pre-crime knowledge of the job? They know it exists before it's even public?
Exactly. And more importantly, they know the temperature of the job. They know if a producer is scrambling because their usual photographer just bailed, or if they're panicking because they need a specific style, you know, maybe underwater photography or high-speed sync, and they don't know who to call.
And that rental agent is standing there holding the phone.
Precisely. If you are on good terms with that rental agent, if you're not just a customer, but a peer they actually respect, you become the solution to that panic. The agent said, hey, don't worry, I know a guy who specializes in this. Let me text him.
Wow. That is powerful. You're not just a name in a pile of resumes at that point. You're the life raft.
Right. And the same logic applies to stylists and makeup artists. These people are on sets every single day. They hear all the gossip.
Oh, they hear everything.
Everything. If a client is on set complaining, man, this photographer is a nightmare, I'm never hiring him again, the stylist hears that.
And if that stylist knows you and knows you're easy to work with,
they can quietly say, "You know who is great? You know who is super chill on set?" Suddenly, you have a referral coming from the inside.
Okay, so lane two is your intelligence network. Then we have lane three, friends and community. This one felt a little loose to me at first. Like, my neighbor's an accountant. He doesn't need commercial photography.
No, he doesn't personally. But his firm might. Or maybe his brother works for an ad agency. The mistake we make is assuming that because someone isn't in the creative industry, they're useless to us. But Giannotti says you aren't asking them to hire you. You're just asking them to be a bridge. You just need one warm introduction to the right person.
Okay, so we have the who. We have our list. Past clients, peers, and friends. Now we hit the wall. The execution.
Because I can have a list of 100 people, but just staring at that list gives me anxiety. It feels awkward to reach out. It feels like begging.
Well, it feels like begging because usually the way we ask is begging. Hey, do you know of any work? I'm slow right now. That's desperate.
Ugh, it smells like desperation. It's the worst. It makes everyone uncomfortable. And beyond the awkwardness, it creates friction. This is the core concept of Giannotti's strategy. Friction.
Oh. Okay.
The reason people don't refer you isn't usually because they don't like you. It's because referring you is work. They have to think of who to send you to. They have to find your portfolio link. They have to write a whole email explaining why you're good.
Yeah.
It's homework.
And nobody wants unpaid homework.
Precisely. So the referral engine is all about becoming frictionless. You have to do the work for them. And this is where Giannotti introduces a concept he calls the blurb.
The blurb. This is the write the email for them strategy, right?
Yes. You are literally going to send them a pre-written paragraph that they can just copy, paste, and forward.
Wow.
You explicitly say in your request, hey, I know you're busy, so if you do think of anyone who needs this type of work, here's a little blurb you can just forward to them.
That's bold, but I can immediately see why it works. It removes that, what do I say?
Paralysis.
But the content of that blurb has to matter, right? You can't just write, hire me, I'm awesome.
No, that totally backfires. The source material is very specific about the anatomy of this blurb. It needs three elements to work. If you miss even one, it falls flat.
Okay, let's walk through the anatomy. Element number one.
A specific target or niche. This is where most creatives fail. They say, I do photography.
Too vague.
So vague. The recipient doesn't know what box to put you in. The blurb needs to say, I specialize in food and beverage photography for CPG brands. Or, I shoot corporate headshots for tech startups.
It sounds a bit restrictive, though. I feel like a lot of photographers worry that if they get too specific, they're missing out on other kinds of work.
You have to get over that fear. Specificity sells. If the person getting that forwarded email works at a food brand and they see food photography, it clicks immediately.
Oh, that's us.
Right. If they see general photography, they just keep scrolling because they assume you're a generalist who doesn't understand their specific needs.
Yeah.
You have to trigger that reaction.
Okay. Specific target. Yeah. What's the second element of the blurb?
Direct access to tools. This is about friction again. Do not make them Google you. Do not send a link to your Instagram homepage where they have to dig through pictures of your dog to find your actual work.
So a direct link to a portfolio gallery.
Even better. Giannotti suggests a one-page PDF.
A PDF? In 2026, that feels almost retro. Why a PDF over a website link?
It's tactical. Think about it. A link requires an internet connection. It can be broken. It takes you away from the email client. A PDF is an attachment. It's a self-contained asset.
Huh.
They can open it, glance at the best six images you've ever taken curated just for them, and close it. It respects their time. It says, here is the proof right in your hand.
That's a really good point. It's an asset they can just file away in a folder on their desktop. It persists.
Exactly. It controls the narrative. You aren't hoping they click the right gallery on your site. You are showing them exactly what you want them to see.
Okay, so we have the niche. We have the proof. What's the third and final element?
This statement of reliability. This one is subtle, but honestly, it might be the most important part for the person who's giving the referral.
Okay.
You need a phrase in that blurb that positions you as, and I'm quoting here, solid on set and easy with teams.
Why focus on personality? Why not just let the image quality speak for itself?
Because of risk. This is all about reputation management. When I refer you to my boss or my colleague, I am putting my reputation on the line.
Good point.
If you take great photos, but you show up late, or you're rude to the client, or you create drama, I look like an idiot for suggesting you. I need to know that you are safe.
Ah, I see. So by including I'm easy to work with or I handle tight deadlines well in the blurb, you're giving the referrer the language to vouch for your character, not just your eye.
You're arming them. You're giving them the arguments they need to sell you. You're making them feel safe to introduce you.
So the perfect ask looks like this. Hey, hope you're well. I'm looking to expand my client list in the healthcare sector this quarter. If you know anyone, here's a blurb you can forward. And then below that, you have the blurb. Meet your name. They shoot commercial healthcare. Here is a PDF of their work. They're great with teams.
Boom. Copy. Paste. Send. You took a process that usually takes 20 minutes of thinking and turned it into 10 seconds of clicking. That is how you get volume.
That makes so much sense. Now let's say this works. The machine is running, you get a lead, you land the job. Now we enter the danger zone, the reward.
Right. The awkward part.
Yeah, I feel like there is this weird pressure to pay people. Like, oh, you got me a $5,000 job, I owe you 10%. But that feels, I don't know, dirty. It feels transactional.
It feels like a kickback. And Giannotti is very firm on this in the source text. Unless you have a formal agent agreement, you should avoid transactional bribery.
Bribery, strong word.
It is, because it cheapens the relationship. If I refer you because I think you're good and you slide me an envelope of cash, suddenly I feel like a broker, not a friend. It just changes the whole dynamic.
So how do we show appreciation without making it weird?
You move from bribery to gratitude. The source lists some really classy ways to do this. And the number one method, a handwritten note.
The lost art.
It's so powerful because it's rare. We get 1,000 emails a day. We get 0 letters. If you take the time to buy a card, write a message, stamp it, and mail it, that signals that you actually care.
It stands out. It's physical.
It stands out on a desk, and it lingers. An email gets deleted or archived. A card stays on the desk for a week.
Okay, what else?
Another great suggestion is the on-brand gift. If you are a photographer, make a small, high-quality print of a shot from the job they referred, or even just one of your best personal shots, frame it and send it to them.
I like that.
It's a thank you, but it's also a Trojan horse.
A Trojan horse. Explain that.
It sits on their desk. It's a permanent billboard for your work. Every single time someone walks into their office and says, cool photo, your name comes up again. Oh, yeah, that photographer took that. They're great.
That is incredibly smart. It keeps the wheel turning without you doing anything.
And the third one, and this is huge for the modern age, is public recognition. Clout.
Everyone wants to be the main character.
Totally. If a stylist refers you, post a behind-the-scenes photo of them working and write a caption about how amazing they are, tag them. You are giving them social proof. You're telling your whole network, this person is a pro. You make them look good.
That seems to be the recurring theme here. Whether it's the blurb or the reward, the goal is always to make the other person look good.
That is the ultimate incentive. The source material is crystal clear on this. The best reward for a referral isn't money or gifts, it's validation.
Mm.
If I introduce you and you crush the job and the client loves you, I look like a genius. I look like the guy who knows the best talent. That social currency is addictive. I will refer you again just to get that feeling.
But the flip side is true too. If I refer you and you bomb,
then the well runs dry. Instantly. You have to treat a referral client better than a cold client. You have to treat them like gold because you're serving two masters, the client and the person who sent you.
Your reputation is being doubled down on.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have the philosophy, we have the tactics, but a system isn't a system unless you actually do it. And I think this is where most of us fail. We do this for a week, get busy, and then stop.
Ah, the feast or famine cycle. You market like crazy when you're broke, then you get busy, you stop marketing, you finish the jobs, and suddenly you're broke again. It's so stressful.
So how does the referral engine prevent that?
Routine. Giannotti outlines a weekly checklist. And the key here is that it's incredibly low volume. He's not asking you to cold call 50 people a day. That's just burnout waiting to happen.
So what's the number?
2.
Wait, just 2?
Send 2 referral requests a week. That's it.
That sounds almost too easy. Is that really enough to move the needle?
Well, think about the math. 2 a week is over 100 personal targeted outreaches a year. Most photographers do 0.
Good point.
If you do 100 and you have that frictionless blurb and you're targeting the right people, the law of averages says you are going to generate business. The key is that 2 is sustainable.
Right.
You could do 2 emails on a Tuesday morning with your coffee. If you try to do 20, you'll burn out by week 3 and stop completely.
Slow and steady. It's about consistency over intensity.
Exactly. The second part of the checklist is update the list. Add 5 names. You met a new producer. Add them. met a new lighting tech, add them. The list has to be a living organism.
And the third part?
Prep the tools. Keep those templates fresh.
Yes.
If you did a new shoot that's amazing, update that PDF. Don't send a PDF from 2023. Keep the ammo ready so when you need to fire an email, there's zero resistance.
There's a reflection aspect to this weekly routine too, right?
Yes. He suggests asking yourself two questions every Friday. First, who is already rooting for me? It changes your mindset from who can I use to who is on my team.
I like that. It feels less predatory, more like community building.
And the second question, what would make referring me simple? It forces you to constantly audit your own process. Is your PDF file size too big? Is your portfolio link broken? Are you just being difficult?
It's constant optimization. You're just greasing the gears of the engine.
Precisely. And when you do this, when you have the list, the blurb, the gratitude, and the routine referrals stop being luck, they become a predictable revenue stream.
And that frees you up to do the thing you actually love, which is taking pictures.
That's the dream, isn't it? You want to spend 90% of your time being a photographer, not a salesperson. This system allows that.
So if we zoom out, the takeaway here is pretty empowering. We don't have to be victims of the algorithm. We don't have to just wait for the phone to ring. We can build a system that leverages the social capital we already have.
But it requires getting over the awkwardness.
Yeah.
It requires realizing that people want to help you as long as you don't make it hard for them.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a thought that came up when we were discussing the safety aspect. We talked about how the referrer needs to feel safe introducing you.
The are you safe test.
Right. And I think that's a provocative question to look in the mirror and ask yourself, not is my work good enough? We know you're talented, but are my current client interactions smooth enough, professional enough, and drama-free enough that a referrer would feel safer introducing me than keeping me a secret?
Oof, that cuts deep. Because if you're a tortured artist on set, no one is going to risk their reputation on you, no matter how good the photos are.
Something to chew on as you build your list. That's it for this deep dive into the referral engine. Thanks for listening. Now go draft that blurb.
See you next time.